Hare Krishna. So, when all these six powerful, four sons, six powerful heroes, four sons of Ravan and two of his generals fell, then Ravan became very, very worried. But then Indrajit came to Ravan. When Ravan was lamenting, Indrajit consoled him that, please father, don't lament. I am here. So I will take care of all of them. So why are you worried? And saying that, Indrajit actually had the benediction that he could become invisible. He used to perform a sacrifice at a place called Nikumbhila, and when he performed the sacrifice before the war, before going to the battlefield, he could become invisible. Even Indra couldn't see him. So, riding on his chariot, Indrajit then came to the battlefield, and everything became, after this sacrifice, even his chariot became invisible. Whatever paraphernalia he used, not only he himself, even his paraphernalia became invisible. And he came to the battlefield and he was creating a disaster. But then he thought of weakening his army, weakening his enemy by causing them pain. And he actually created an illusory Sita. And he got the illusory Sita in his chariot and he came to the battlefield in front of all the soldiers of Ram and Ram and Lakshman himself. And then he he cut off Sita in front of everybody. He tortured Sita and then with his sword he cut her body off. And seeing that, he became, Ram and Lakshman became very, very worried. They started to lament. Indrajit declared, "Watch me now as I kill Sita. A person who desires to win a war must be willing to give pain to his enemy." At that, Indrajit took his sword and violently slashed the illusory Sita's body diagonally, causing her to fall immediately to the ground in a pool of blood. Indrajit then taunted Hanuman, saying, "Sita is now dead, proving all your endeavors to rescue her a useless waste of energy." So Lakshman then took the news to Ram and explained about Sita's death. But then Vibhishan told them that it is not possible that Sita has been killed by Indrajit, because Ravan will never allow that. Ravan is so attached to Sita that even when we gave him advice to return her to you, so he was not willing to part from Sita. So Ravan will never allow that. So this is the wisdom of Indrajit. He knew that Ravan will not allow that. So this he declared, That's only an illusory Sita. And then he told Lakshman that, Lakshman, you have to kill Indrajit before he performs a sacrifice and becomes invisible again. So Bibhishan then told how Indrajit actually becomes invisible, and what is the procedure by which he does that, and the place where he observes his yajna, Nikumbhila, and how well guarded it is. Bibhishan knew everything. So Bibhishan told that to Ram and Lakshman, and they said that the only way that is the only way you can kill Indrajit. Because if Indrajit performs the sacrifice and comes to the battlefield, nobody can kill him. The only time he can be killed is when he is performing this sacrifice. So you have to attack him at that time. Before he completes the sacrifice, you have to kill him. While he is performing sacrifice, before he completes the sacrifice, you have to kill him. Then, hearing this, Lord Ram told Lakshman, Lakshman, you take Hanuman, Bibhishan, and the rest of the monkey army with you. Lakshman touched Ram's lotus feet, and vowing to kill Indrajit, he departed. Bibhishan then took Lakshman to a place beneath a banyan tree where Indrajit offered oblations into the sacrificial fire before entering the battlefield. Bibhishan knew that Indrajit would soon come there to complete his rituals and urged Lakshman to wait and then kill Indrajit when he returned. So they arrived there when Indrajit didn't as yet come, and they were waiting for Indrajit to come there. Lakshman took his stand, and before long Indrajit did return. As Lakshman challenged him to fight, Indrajit rebuked Bibhishan, saying that, why you had to do that? Why you had to join the enemy side and go against us? You are a disgrace to our family. In this way, there was he kept on rebuking Bibhishan. Why does my own uncle come here to do me harm? I'm the favorite son of your elder brother. Have you no feeling for your family members? You too are born in the Rakshasa dynasty. Have you no pride of your birth, wicked fool? Can't you see how you have betrayed your kinsmen? Is there no difference between a living with one's own family and licking the feet of a stranger? One's worst relative is always better than an outsider. Only you could act so treacherously. Is very informative. Now, to that, Bibhishan's reply, Bibhishan answered, O nephew, if you are truly concerned with dharma, then why do you approach me, your uncle? It is true, why do you reproach me, your uncle? It is true that I have been born in a family of Rakshasas, but my nature is quite different. I hate impudence and cruelty. It is your father, not I, who caused this breach in our family. According to religious injunctions, it is one's duty to renounce all connections with a sinful person, even if they happen to be family relatives. One who kidnaps another's wife is most abominable and should be cast off like a snake that clings to one's body. To mistrust friends, to have sexual relations with wife of another, or to steal others' property always lead to destruction. Ravan is doomed. Along with him, you and all of Lanka will be destroyed, O Indrajit. You are merely a proud, ill-mannered boy. Say whatever you like, but soon you will lay down your life riddled by the arrows of Lakshman. And this also leads to another higher cause, that when it comes to surrendering to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, when it comes to siding with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then all relationship, all friendship, everything should be kept in one side. If they are not favorable or conducive to the surrender to the Supreme Lord. So ultimate consideration is the Supreme Lord is one side, Krishna is on one side, and the rest of the world is on another side. So if friends, family members, relatives, if they are not going to side with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then we have to reject them. As many of us have done. We left our family to join with Krishna. Because that is the ultimate responsibility, ultimately. If the family members are not Krishna conscious, if the family members want to become Ravan's chelas, then they have to be rejected, just as Bibhishan did. So in this way, Bibhishan actually is citing a very, very wonderful example. On the other hand, when the family members are devotees, they have to be embraced as the greatest of kins. So the battle started between Lakshman and Indrajit. Lakshman was mounted upon Hanuman, and after an exchange of challenges, Indrajit suddenly pierced him with two arrows. Now in the battle we can see that it is the Ravana and his people are the aggressor. They are the ones, they are shooting the first arrows or attacking first. And Ram's followers are retaliating in exchange of that attack. They are not, devotees are not the aggressors. Devotees in defense, they fight. Indrajit suddenly pierced him with two arrows. Lakshman responded by striking Indrajit in the chest with five arrows, and thus the fierce duel began. After some time, Indrajit became pale and weakened from the onslaught of Lakshman's arrows. Bibhishan urged Lakshman to make short work of the Rakshasa. Lakshman released more of his powerful arrows, causing Indrajit to become temporarily dazed. However, he quickly recovered, saying, "Remember how I previously defeated you," and pierced Lakshman with seven arrows, Hanuman with ten, and Bibhishan with 100. Lakshman, however, simply laughed, again covering Indrajit with arrows and shattering his golden armor to pieces. However, when Indrajit retaliated with 1,000 arrows, Lakshman's armor was also shattered. Thus, neither appeared to gain the upper hand. The fighting continued for a long time. Lakshman and Indrajit assaulted each other with arrows, both determined to gain victory. Innumerable arrows pierced through their bodies and entered the earth, causing them to bleed profusely. The masses of arrows that had been counteracted were spread all over the ground like so much kushak grass. Then finally, Lakshman selected a wonderful weapon belonging to Indra. As he placed the invisible weapon on his bowstring, drawing it back to his ear, Lakshman prayed, "O chief of the celestials, if Ram is truly unrivaled Lord and the shelter of truth and virtue, let this weapon kill Ravana's son." By saying that, he released the weapon. And the weapon just went and severed Indrajit's head from his body. Ravana's ministers informed him how Lakshman has killed Indrajit. With the assistance of Bibhishan, Ravan fainted upon hearing that news. And only after a long time regained consciousness, Ravan lamented sorely over the death of his beloved heir apparent. Becoming possessed by mad anger, Ravan decided to revenge by killing Sita. Ravan now wanted to take revenge of death of Indrajit by killing Sita. As he announced this, his appearance was so fierce that the other Rakshasas hid themselves out of fear. Ravana called for his impenetrable armor, bow and arrow, and all that were awarded to him by Lord Brahma. He declared, "I'll now enact in reality with what Indrajit may. I'll enact it in reality what Indrajit this merely did as a conjuring trick, simply to torment the enemy." Ravan violently unsheathed his sword and rushed to the Ashoka Grove. Followed by Mandodari and several of his ministers, although these well-wishers tried their best to restrain him, Ravan soon arrived before the terrified Sita. Feeling compassion for the grief-ridden Sita, a pious minister named Shupasha addressed Ravan, "O Lord, you have studied all the Vedas and observed the strictest vows. How can you even think of harming a woman like this? Let the lovely Sita be. Instead, vent your wrath upon your real enemy. Today is the 14th day of the dark lunar fortnight. Tomorrow, as the new moon emerges, march against Ram and his monkey hordes and obtain victory. I am sure that after killing Ram, you will be able to enjoy Sita to your heart's content. Why should you prematurely frustrate your ardent desire in this way?" Ravana accept this flattering advice. He then gave up the idea of killing Sita and returned to his palace. Hissing like a trampled serpent, he ordered his ministers, "Prepare my army for battle at once. Today I shall finally kill Ram, Lakshman and all the monkeys with my torrents of arrows. Bring my chariot and make certain that every able-bodied Rakshasa soldiers follow me." At Ravana's command, 100,000 chariots, 300,000 elephants, 60 million horse soldiers, and unlimited foot soldiers assembled. Ravana then mounted his chariot, drawn by 8 horses and equipped with numerous weapons belonging to the chief demigods. When the fight began, Ravana created havoc, for none of the monkeys could stand before his onslaught of arrows. As the enraged Sugriv led the monkeys in the fierce counterattack upon Rakshasa army, Ravana turned his attention to Ram. So, when Ravana struck Ram in the forehead with an arrow, Ram remained undaunted and retaliated with Rudra weapon. Even though that missile discharged innumerable arrows, they simply bounced off Ravana's impenetrable armor without harming him in the least. Ravana next evoked a Rudra weapon created by Maidana, releasing maces, lances, thunderbolts and nooses in steady stream. Ram quickly foiled Rudra weapon with his Gandharva weapon. Ravana then discharged a brilliant Surya weapon that caused enormous effulgent chakras to shoot out at Ram. Ravana then discharged a brilliant Surya weapon that released enormous effulgent chakras to shoot out at Ram. With a display of inconceivable skill, Ram shattered all the chakras with his arrows. But while he was doing this, Ravan pierced Ram's chest with 10 powerful shafts. Ram, however, did not flinch and retaliated by shooting Ravana's limbs with numerous arrows. Desiring to enter the fray, Lakshman released 7 arrows that cut down Ravana's flag. With another arrow, Lakshman severed the head of Ravana's driver, and with 5 more, split Rakshasa king's bow. Then Vibhishan also rushed forward and killed Ravana's horses with his mace, forcing his enraged brother to jump from the disabled chariot. So then Ravana, being angry, he picked up a lance which was actually empowered with Shakti, which was known as Shakti Shale. He released it to kill Vibhishan. But Lakshman quickly hailed so many arrows upon Ravan that he became stunned while standing with his spear in his hand. Before he could release the spear, the shale, Shakti shale, Lakshman hit him with many arrows. So Ravan was stunned. Now he became angry with Lakshman. And he took that, and he told Lakshman, because you have dared rescue Vibhishan, the spear that was meant for him will instead take your life. So he hurled that weapon at Lakshman. The weapon pierced Lakshman's chest and went into the ground. And Lakshman fell unconscious. When Ram saw Lakshman's pitiful condition, he became extremely despondent. With tears filling his eyes, suppressing his intense grief, Ram extracted the spear from Lakshman's body, even as Ravana showered arrows upon him. So now Lakshman became unconscious. So Shushen, the doctor of the monkeys, said that the only way Lakshman could be revived is if Hanuman could bring Vishalakarani, Suvarnakarani, Savarnakarani, and Sanjivakarani and Sandhini. If we can get these four herbs from Gandhamadan mountain, then actually here the mountain has been described as Mahodaya mountain. It's in the middle of the Himalayas. So then Hanuman jumped again and not only across the ocean but all the way to Himalayas. And he arrived there, but he couldn't figure out this herbs. He was not a doctor, so he didn't know which herb is which one. So he uprooted the whole mountain and carried the whole mountain to Lanka. Then Sushen took that those herbs and he made them into a paste and made Lakshman smell it. And when Lakshman smelt it, he gained his consciousness again. His wounds instantly became healed. As Lakshman stood up, Ram embraced him fondly, saying, "It is my good fortune that you are well. O Lakshman, without you, there would be no use in recovering Sita or even maintaining my life any longer." Meanwhile, Ravan mounted another chariot and rushed out from the city, eager to fight with Ram. Ram took up his bow and released a downpour of arrows upon Ravan. However, from the sky, the demigods exclaimed, "This battle is not being fairly fought." Ram is standing on the ground while Ravan rides in a chariot. So, taking this cue, Indra immediately called his charioteer, Matali, and said, "Take my chariot for Ram." So Matali with the chariot immediately appeared in front of Ram and said, "Indra sent you this chariot." Ram got into the chariot and went to the end on the battlefield. Thereafter, Ram began to fire his arrows with redoubled energy and greater dexterity. And this assault was combined with volleys of stones hurled by the monkeys. Ravan became so dazed that he could no longer take up and properly discharge his weapons. Ravan was dazed. He lost his energy. He almost lost his consciousness. So seeing Ravan in that condition, Ravan's charioteer took Ravan away from the battlefield. So when Ravan regained his consciousness, he was very upset. He started to rebuke his charioteer. "Why did you do this? Why did you take me away from the battlefield?" So Ravan's charioteer then said, "I took you away from the fighting only for your welfare. You appear to have lost all your strength and your horses were exhausted. Many inauspicious omens were visible. So I did what I considered to be my foremost duty." Now Ravan became pacified by his chariot driver's words and then ordered, "Go quickly to where Ram is. Once Ravana makes up his mind, he does not turn back until he has completely vanquished his enemy." Now, when Ravan was absent, when Ravan was away, Agastya Muni came to Ram. And he told him that, "My dear Ram, kindly receive from me this Aditya Hridaya prayer. And when you chant this Aditya Hridaya prayer, which is meant for sun, satisfying sun god, This mantra bestows great blessings and cleanses all sins. One who chants this hymn prolongs his life and remains always fixed on the eternal path of religion. Agastya then continued, O Ram, if you recite this mantra while worshipping the sun god, then you will certainly be able to conquer your enemy. Anyone who is in difficulty and worships Surya with this prayer never comes to grief. Then after chanting this Aditya Hriday mantra, offering his obeisances to Surya Dev, then Surya Dev was pleased. And when Ram took up his bow and advanced towards Ravana, Surya spoke to him from the sky, urging, do not delay, go quickly. Both chariot drivers displayed great skill. Indra's chariot driver Matali and Ravan's chariot driver, both were very expert in their occupation. And then Ram's chariot came very close to Ravan's chariot. Matali brought it very close to Ravan's chariot, and that gave Ram opportunity to disable Ravan's horses. And because of that, Ravan became very, very angry. And he repeatedly assailed Ram with his arrows in retaliation. But Ram remained undisturbed. Thus, the exchange of weapons became so feverish that the fighting was unparalleled in the history of warfare. Sometimes Ravan displayed his 10 heads, sometimes he displayed his 1 head. In this way Ravan was fighting. Then Ram was shooting arrows that were severing Ravan's head. But Ravan's head, as it fell on the ground, it would bounce back into his body. So, Ravan was practically invincible. Several days and nights passed without gap in fighting. So they fought for several days and nights continuously. Finally, when Matali saw that Ram was not gaining his desired victory, he inquired, why are you only fighting in a defensive manner? My lord, are you not aware of your limitless potencies? The hour of doom has now arrived for the king of the Rakshasas. Why do not you use your divine Brahmastra? So reminded of his ultimate weapon, Ram took up the arrow that Agastya Rishi had formerly given him. At the time of their meeting in Dandakaranya. You remember, Agastya gave Ram the weapons, celestial weapons. So this was the... Brahma has personally created this arrow. This arrow was created by Brahma personally for Indra's use. And later it was presented to Agastya. The forefather of the wonderful arrows, the feathers of the wonderful arrow was supplied by Garuda. The arrow was made with Garuda's feather. And the arrow was presided by Vayu, the god of wind. The razor-sharp head was created with the combined energy of Agni and Surya. Mount Meru and Mount Mandara contributed their gravity, becoming the arrow's weight. So the weight of the arrow was The combined weight or gravity of Mandara mountain and Mount Meru. So we can see, and its shaft were made from a subtle ethereal element. The wonderful Brahmastra arrow was omnipotent and infallible, and its dazzling effulgence rivaled the sun's. Empowering the arrow with required mantras, Ram placed the terrible Brahmastra upon his bowstring. While gazing upon the flaming arrow, the monkeys became filled with delight, while dread penetrated the hearts of Rakshasas. As Ram pulled the bowstring back to his ear, the earth began to shudder and the heavens appeared to be thrown into confusion. At last, when Ram released that weapon, the Brahmastra, it sped through the air like death itself, striking violently the chest of Rakshasa king. Actually, Ravan was immortal because nectar was preserved in his heart. So this Brahmastra actually went and dried out the nectar. And that is how Ravan became vincible. Then vomiting blood from his 10 mouths, he fell down dead upon the ground. So with Ravan dead, all the monkeys started to rejoice. The demigods started to shower flowers. And the Gandharvas began to dance and sing and dance. And Kinnaras and Apsaras started to dance in ecstasy. Whereas Rakshasas started to lament. And lamenting, they all went back to Lanka. Sugriv, Angad, Vibhishan and Lakshman were the first to come and pay homage to Ram. However, when Vibhishan saw his elder brother lying dead on the battlefield, he broke down and cried in an outburst of grief. Seeing his brother dead, Vibhishan started to cry. So after that, they all went to Lanka. Ram then ordered for Vibhishan to be decided to coronate Vibhishan in the throne of Lanka, and Lakshman performed the yajna, and in this way Vibhishan was reinstated. Vibhishan was coronated in the throne of Lanka. Hanuman was sent to give the message to Sita. So Hanuman went and told Sita. Then Ram told Lakshman to go and along with Vibhishan to bring Sita. Vibhishan was sent to bring Sita after decorating her properly. So in this way, Sita Devi was again reunited with Ram. But then one amazing thing happened. When Sita was brought in a palanquin, all the monkeys were rushing to see Sita. And Vibhishan was just trying to ward them away. Then Ram said, no, let them. Because it is all right. In some occasion, a chaste lady can be seen in public. And he gave the few occasions when a chaste woman can be seen by everyone. And this was one occasion. And then Ram told Vibhishan, that let Sita come walking from the palanquin. And this was very surprising because she should have been carried up to Ram with the palanquin. But then Ram actually told, no, she should come on foot from the palanquin to him. And then he told that he considered that Sita had been staying in the house of Ravan for so long. Everybody may think that Sita became unchaste, Sita became polluted. And that's why it was arranged that Sita, there will be an Agni Pariksha, fire test of Sita. And a fire was lit and Sita entered there. When Sita entered there, then Agnidev himself came out and told Ram that Sita is pure. And there is no blemish in the character of Sita. So even the fire test, that is, the fire, Sita was so pure that fire didn't burn her. Now, there is a mystery behind this incident, which had been revealed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling through South India, he came across one Ram Bhakta Brahmana, who invited him for lunch in his house. And so when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to his house for lunch, then he saw that the Brahmana didn't cook anything. So he asked, what happened? You invited me for lunch and you didn't cook anything. So he said that, how can I cook anything? Ravana has stolen Sita. So he was actually so heartbroken, just thinking that Ravana has stolen Sita, that he was just crying and crying all the time. So Ram consoled him that this was not, Ravana actually did not steal Sita. Ravana cannot even touch Sita. When Ravana came to steal Sita, Sita took shelter of Agnidev. And then, because in the house there was a fire, Agnidev was there. So Agnidev actually took Sita away. And in place of Sita, an illusory Sita was placed. So this illusory Sita was stolen by Ravan. And now that through the Agni Pariksha, the fire test, what actually happened? The illusory Sita disappeared and original Sita came back to be united with Ramchandra. Shri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman Ki. Shri Ram Chandra Ki. Gaur Premanande Hari. All glories to the assembled devotees. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada Ki. Gaur Premanande Hari. So now, 1 o'clock, today we'll have the lunch little early because you all are fasting. So go and have a nice Ekadashi feast. Hare Krishna.